for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, April the 2nd, 1999. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the minister of the evening.
Our emotions have been really stirred tonight. The Lord spoke as, praise God, somebody has failed to sing. And He spoke through that song. When we stop and look at the song that was sung and that what it was sung about, a fountain filled with blood that was drawn from Emmanuel's faith. That sinners, when they're plunged into this flood, will lose all, you hear me? All their guilty stains. We don't... Human mind can't really comprehend this. How many saw the cloud in the presence of the Lord in the latter part of the service here? Well, it was here. There was a cloud. And the presence of the glory of God filled this place in between the time of that song and this time now. And God is present. And He's doing a work in you and I. Glenn told me week before last, he wanted me to do a service outside of the normal afternoon, but we always preach deliverance when we're over here. And the Lord began to deal with me about it, and He gave me a very strange message to bring to you tonight, because it's something that every one of us know about and we say we walk in. Let me first speak a few words before I get into it. You know the scripture from the Song of Solomon? It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Now, when He spoke this, God was speaking through Solomon. But let me tell you, He's speaking to you tonight about these little foxes that are spoiling your vines tonight. If you spoil the vine, you little fox will eat into the edge of the vine and it will kill the fruit. It'll produce no fruit. And you... If you'll allow the foxes of life to get involved in your life, you'll have no fruit in your life. And all we have to present before God when we stand before Him is the fruit of what we have done. Otherwise, we stand naked and in shame.
Yes.
Now, my wife and I, we love roses. And they got out of hand. She wanted a rose. So we got a little rose garden, and we planted a rose garden out to the side of the house, and we finally just filled up it longer and longer and longer, and we ended up, I don't know, I think there's 27 roses bushes in that garden. That was just a start. I have 250 rose bushes in my yard. Now, they're beautiful. But you know, about 2 or 3 years ago, we found out that they were dying. And we got to looking, and it wasn't foxes. But it's equally as bad. It was rabbits. Rabbits. Rabbit comes in, and the only place that he can find that food on that is right at the base of it, because there's no briar, nothing to hinder him, and it's very tender. And he'll eat the bark off of the stem where it comes out of the ground, and it'll kill the rose. And they were killing my roses, and they weren't producing any fruit. And you and I are having our fruit killed off because we love the things that we do in the flesh. We enjoy it. We enjoy the flesh. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm putting you down in any sense. What I'm trying to do tonight is that you will not stand in shame before your God when we are called home. We know the Lord. I dare say every person in here, we've already had altar calls. We've had a call for salvation. And I think at least 99% know the Lord. So I don't know what you do in your life, but the Lord gave me some information, and the Lord is calling a church that is without spot and wrinkle.
Amen.
Are you ready to stand before God right now? This minute, right now. No changes. Right where we are, right here. And let Him look at your life and flash back your life before you at this point. Or have we kept up to date in our lives and keeping a clean slate before our God? Oh, yes, I have not committed any murder. I haven't committed adultery. We classify sin in size, but it's not true. That's not how it works. The brother told us sin is expressed many different ways, but mainly when you look in the concordance, it just says to miss the mark. He's right on it. That's what it says, to miss the mark. And I knew he was right. I mean, I didn't question his part there. But I want you to understand that that's all it takes to be caught in sin. And you say, well, I can stand before God tonight. I'm okay. And the man that says, I have no sin, he is a liar.
Amen.
Now, I didn't say that. The Word said that in 1 John.
Amen.
Now, we have things in our life, and my point tonight is to make us ready and to make us sure to stand before our God and say, look at my life. I have gone back. I have inspected my life, Father, and I have confessed my sin. I have repented of the things that I have done. And I stand before you. And that's where we need to be. And I want you to, as we go through this tonight, the title of my talk tonight is Grace.
Hallelujah.
Grace. Every one of us say we walk under God's grace. Do we not?
Yes.
Pardon just a moment, but we'll carry my sound off. Christian people live in a dispensation of grace, a time of grace. When I was first came to the Lord, the church that I was in, they said, well, it's easy to explain to you what grace is. You take G-R-A-C-E. That's God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, that pretty well covers it, really. And when you stop and think about it. But you know, I started looking at the Scriptures to see what God said about it, because we say we all walk under grace. And I want you, by the time I get half through, to see if we're really walking under grace or not. And if not, let's get our under grace, the grace of our God that covers and makes us free from all sin. Look and open your Bibles with me to John, the Gospel of John, first chapter, in verse 17. He says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, that we know that. I mean, well, grace was mentioned in the Old Testament several times. It is mainly a New Testament word, but they talked about the grace of God in the Old Testament. But if it came by Jesus Christ, how does it come into you and when does it come into you? It comes into you when you establish Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord. Now, I came from that great denominational body of people that believe in getting everybody saved. And the minute they get you saved, they say, now you go out and get one. And they're sending out babes to bring in new babes. And they know nothing about doing it. I was raised in church. I grew up in the church. And I think most of you know that I'm talking about Baptist churches. I was raised in a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church. And spent quite a bit of my life there. And I thought that was the most wonderful thing in the world, to this salvation business of going out and getting people saved. But do you know that when I came in, and they baptized me as a child, it didn't really mean anything. I was baptized. No, I wasn't. I was dipped. That is not baptism. Baptism is a very different thing. Baptism is a picture of Christ cleansing you and your death, His death, burial, and resurrection, and your death, burial, and resurrection into a new life. And I didn't do that when I was 12 years old. and not too much about my own life, but it had to change, and it did at a later time. And I found out that there was more to it than that. And I got it up here, but I couldn't get it down here. You understand? I got it in my head and my mind. I had salvation. I knew all about it. I could quote you. I could give you the four spiritual laws just like that. Go out and talk to people and hand it to them. Here's the four spiritual laws. And could quote it to them. Didn't have to read it out of the book. We went to classes on how to get the TV turned off, so we could tell you about Jesus. But we didn't really know about Jesus. And that's where I came from. And I had to live till I was in my 40s before Christ reached down and got a hold of me. But praise God, He did. And then from that time on, we have tried to serve our Lord. And it is this in my heart that does it. Not knowing about it, because we all know about grace, God's grace. We live in this dispensation, and we have it up here. But is it down here in our heart yet? Is our salvation there? Let me ask you that. Is your salvation in your heart yet, or do you still have it mentally in your mind and knowing it in your mind? God's not looking at your mind and what you're doing in your life for the purpose of your salvation. Not your deeds. That's not what He's looking at. He's looking at the source of where it comes from. And if it's coming out of your heart, that's where it's going to count. Romans in the 3rd chapter. If I spend too much time on these, I'll never get through, because I've got a good bit of Scripture. Verse 24. He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Boy, that word, redemption, that's a very positive word in our life. It's the ransom. It means ransom. Jesus ransomed you out of the hand of the devil. He redeemed. I started off in our early days of preaching. I've had a church, as pastoring a church for 18, 19 years, 20 years. She'll keep me straight. 20 years. And I used to say, you know how you go to the pawn shop and you give them an object and they give you money? And they give you a ticket? Well, when you go back and give them money, which is more than what they gave you, you redeemed your object. Well, Christ redeemed us, but not in exactly that way. He paid the price with His life, which was much greater than what we've ever paid and what we will ever pay. And when He sang that song tonight, the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of me afresh and anew. And I began to see exactly, well, not maybe as much as I shall yet see, but I saw my Lord loving me enough that He went on up there to that tree. They didn't have to lead Him up there. They didn't have to drag Him up on that hill. He willingly went up there for you and for me, that we might have eternal life free from the power of the devil. And it comes when we serve our God and we give ourselves only over to Him and allow Him to be the Lord of our life. And we quit trying to run this business of self here, this body, this dirt and clay, by self, and let Him rule and reign here in this body and be Lord. And that's when this comes. Do you know that word also means deliverance? Ooh, glory. We're always in deliverance. It means ransom. It means deliverance. It also means salvation. So, He did a mighty work in redemption in your life and in my life. The deliverance is being set free. You see, it says that He set us free from sins that were past. We seem to think that we can do whatever we want to because Christ has set us free, so we can go on and do. Well, we're under grace. And God knows I'm in this position, so He understands when I cheat on my income tax, when I lie to someone. Well, God understands that. You know, I'm under grace. You see, God really understands. He really does. And until we go back and straighten that out, we are in trouble. And we have accepted grace as something that's a broad work of the Lord that covers everything in our life, and especially the little defects in this life. But that's not what it is. That's not what God's grace is. Oh, hallelujah. Titus 3:7 talks about this also. He says that being justified by His grace, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So He's added something to it now in this scripture. We're an heir now. You ever stop to think about being an heir? I have a man in our church that has made me his heir. And the Lord has had to show me and to make me that, hey, put this completely out of your mind and out of your thinking. This is a good brother. And he comes to me with all kinds of questions. He's this very elderly person. And should I do this? Should I do it? He says, do you want to build a church? I'll build it. And he comes and asks me to make decisions about his money, which I'm his heir. You see what kind of a position he puts me in? And I have to say, Lord, what am I going to tell this man in this situation? And he's very free with his money. He's a lovely brother. And he's very free with his money. And we have to keep that in mind of what God wants. But this thing of heir is according to hope. Isn't that what it said? According to hope. We live in 1999. When I say hope, you think, I wish that happened. I wish that. Because that's the word hope that we understand today that we use in our English language. But what this hope over here is not that same word. This is translated from this is translated from the Greek. And the hope that he is speaking of, did I write anything about that? Oh, yes. Oh, glory. Hope. Ah, it is an assured item. The hope in the Bible is assured. It's not something that we wish for. When we meet the condition that God has laid down in His Word, Mildred said it today, every promise in this Word, somebody said there's 3,000 and some hundred of them, promises in the Bible to the believer. Every one of them are yours. Do you know that it will work every time? That promise will come true every time when you meet the condition that is attached to the promise. What we accept it is it's going to come through every time. And we can leave off of that because most every promise has attached to it at that point, the condition. Sometimes they're a little around it. But you know, I hear people quote the Word of God and they never put the condition on it. And we accept this dispensation of grace and walk in it as though it is the very ultimate covering for us, that we do not have to worry about anything. I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord because I openly admitted it. I go to church, and the Bible says I'm walking under grace. And I use deception. And I go around whispering. And I talk about people. I backbite. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because I'm walking under grace. And that's the way the church accepts grace. Now, I realize that we're talking to a very special group of people here. You would not be here if you were not doing your best to serve God or to receive even more from God. I'm trying my best tonight to show you that we have not attained all that God has promised us yet. There is still room in our life, and we have not completed even that He has said that we must do, because we have left out parts of His Word. We have disregarded much of His Word, and we have transferred it over to this thing of grace and said it's all right because of God's grace. And the church says we're walking into grace. And grace is God's, you know, forgiveness for His people. God will forgive me. You know He will.
Unearned favor.
It is unearned. But He will forgive you when you confess your sin and repent. Jesus came. His forerunner, John, came. What did He preach? What was His topic? Repentance. This is what He came preaching. for the kingdom of heaven is right behind me. It's following after me. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings is coming. Repent. 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 And Jesus came, and what did he preach? Repent.
Right.
This was his first message. Repent.
Amen.
And you and I have taken lightly the word of God in this place, in this, what he's saying here. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 16, 2:16 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even the Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace."
Yes.
And that hope, I've already talked to you about the hope. Consolation. Thank you, brother, for that. Everlasting comfort. Comfort, that's what he's talking about. Comfort, consolation is comfort. What was the other word? And good hope. Confidence. Giving you confidence. It is the word hope in this old King James version, but it means confidence. You have confidence. You believe this? Is that the Word of God? You believe that's the Word of God? Do you know that sinners believe that's the Word of God? It doesn't do them a bit of good. Until you start walking in what we've got here, it is of absolute no value to you. Until you apply it to self. And this hope, I have something. And this hope is real, and it is confidence in our life that God is going to perform exactly what he said he would.
Yes.
When we meet the condition, when we walk in what he said we must do, and as we do, he will meet us and he will bring to pass that which he has promised. And I watch the church today, and they walk in the promise of God without ever trying to meet the condition that he set down for them to move in. And they're going to stand before God, and God's going to look at their nakedness. Because they have not covered themselves with the Word of God and repented and confessed their sins. And that is sin. Just to miss the mark is sin. All that is not of faith is sin. How can we say that we walk without sin? You know, us being in deliverance all the time, we stand on many, many scriptures speaking of that. And one that people, when we say that we are under attack of the devil, they say, well, Scripture says you not should be under attack. A curse cannot cause us to come. Isn't that true? That's Scripture. That is Scripture. Talks about it as a swallow by flying. The curse cannot cause us to come. Got to have a cause. But do you know you and I give the enemy enough causes every day to strike us and slip in what he wants to slip in? And I'm not preaching deliverance tonight, but I want to show you that until we clean ourselves up, we've got to clean ourselves up before we can stand before God and get rid of this junk and stand as a cover, as God's covering around about us, and not be ashamed to stand in the very presence of the living God. Because we have allowed the enemy through love of self to attack us in so many different ways. And we are. This is grace. This is a dispensation time. That's what he's talking about. This is that time of grace when God's blessing will cover you as we come before him and confess our sin. Then his grace wipes out. And he says he'll remember your sin no more. It is as far as the east is from the west. And he'll bury it in the very deepest part of the sea. And that sin is gone. And when you walk in forgiveness, and we have a lot of unforgiveness in us, and we need to clean that up and walk in it. And I'll tell you, you'll know you have forgiven when you remember it no more. Because it'll work the same with you as it did with our Lord. And that's what he said it would do. He said that your sin would be remembered no more. And when you forgive, that situation is never remembered. It never stands in your face again. Oh, what a God we serve. If you really looked at him and said, oh, how magnificent. you are, how wonderful you are, how gracious you are to me. You have supplied me. You have protected me. You have brought me thus far. Your grace surrounds me, and I get in trouble, but when I confess my sin and repent, you take me back and you clean me up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mildred spoke of it today. The Lord showed me a long time ago in John and the... If I talk too fast, I run out of breath. He showed me in the 13th chapter of John that one of the last things Jesus did before he went to the cross, as he got down on his knees, he stripped himself down and took a towel and got down and washed his disciples' feet. Do you think their feet was dirty and that was bothering him that night? He washed their feet. And Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet." And he says, "If I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me." Now, you know he was doing a spiritual work there that night, because that business of cleaning that dirt off of his feet was not going to stop Peter from serving God. So there was something else going on.
Hallelujah.
And Peter said, "Not only my feet, Lord, my head and my whole body, wash me clean." And he says that the Word has made us clean, but we have need for our feet to be washed, and we should wash each other's feet. And what the point that Jesus was making and is still making today is that as we walk the earth, this land, we pick up, because we have not kept ourselves circumspect in the Word, we pick up those things that the devil puts upon us. And we allow them to get a hold of us. And he says, "I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to clean your feet off." And we need to clean each other's feet off. And we need to get rid of those spirits that are hanging on to us just there. And I'm not talking, see, it has nothing, they're not talking about your salvation. But if you let them alone long enough, they'll come up your leg, both your legs, and they'll get in your body, and they'll take you over, and it will be more than just your feet that needs washing if you don't get cleansed from them. I'll guarantee it. That's the way they work. So we need, the moment we are aware that Satan has attacked us, to get free from it, so that we will not allow him to get a hold of the computer here, this mind of ours, and steal and take from us and start putting false information into us. Because if he ever gets in here and really moves there, you think, you can't distinguish who's putting it in. "That's just me. I thought that up." No. He'll keep on doing it. He'll keep on, and he'll separate you from your God. But I'm not preaching deliverance tonight. But I want you to know about it, because that's necessary for you to stand before God. You're going to have to get cleaned up.
Amen.
That was my point there. Back in Romans in the 5th chapter.
Hallelujah.
Romans 5 in verse 15 it says, "But not all as the offense, so also is the free gift." Back up to 14 to get a little more of this. He said, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense..." See, it never fails. You start coming against the devil, and he's going to do everything he can to stop you.
Right.
Hallelujah. But that's all right. My God's greater than any demon or any devil that ever was. And he's still in control. Okay, we're in Romans, the 5th chapter, 15th verse. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many." And it is a gift. Jesus is a gift to you and I. What do you say? Jesus is a gift to us. Oh, how he loves you. He loves you. Oh, don't you understand? You don't know what he left. I don't know what he left to come down here. But I'll guarantee you it was better than what he found here. And he came knowing You know that he knew what was going to happen, don't you? You do know that, don't you? That Jesus knew what was facing him. Don't you remember when he went up on the mountain? Moses and Elijah came down and talked to him. What? What did they talk about? About his demise.
Yes.
About his death. And he was well aware. Did he slow down his ministry? Did he back away from it? He loved you so much that he went straight forward with everything that he was doing that you and I might have
Hallelujah.
Eternal life and access to God even here and now, today.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And if we don't have it today, don't expect it when you stand before him. For it's the here and the now that's going to determine when we stand before him.
Right.
And we are going to have to understand that this grace is not a blanket covering for anything that we wish to do. And that God gave us a gift that we might have eternal life and stand with Him. In Ephesians 2, verse 5, says that even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. It was God's unmerited favor that He saved His servant. It wasn't anything you did. Your ability has no effect. He's looking at your heart. What is the desires of your heart? Now, that scripture, God spoke to me about that scripture. I'll put a note here. Together. We become one with Jesus Christ in the togetherness. When we receive Jesus, He... You know, we used to go out and trying to get church members. That's what we were trying to do. Shame on us. I learned better. Before I left that denomination, I learned better. And we went out trying to get people into the kingdom of God, into salvation, to walk with God. But when we came together, we became one. He says that a husband and wife, when they come together, what do they become? One. When we come to Jesus Christ, we are married to Jesus Christ. Yeah, the scripture says that we're married to Him and we become one. And if I'm one with Jesus, what am I doing messing around with the devil and his group and allowing him room here to move in my life and to break down God's unmerited favor to me and for me to walk in the desires of my own flesh when I should be walking in the very presence of the Most High God and sitting back and just watching Him move. Melody talks about the ladies meeting and then prayer meeting the second morning. Somebody asked for special prayer for a special thing and whispered into her ear, and she whispered back into her ear for that thing to turn her loose. And the spirit fell. And everybody started getting deliverance. Every woman in that place. Everyone. And she didn't do anything. So she just backed up and watched God. You see, if we get involved in it, we'll mess it up. We'll always mess it up. We want to go on with the program. We want the program to move on. But if you'll sit back and let God do it, you will see God perfectly line up everything that is necessary and bring into place those things that are needful in your life and the lives of those round about you when we allow Him to be God. Oh, the graciousness of my God and the love that He has for you and me. He still He died for us, but He still loves us. And He's showing it and watching over us and protecting us and those things that we do today. Right down below there in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any of you should boast." And that's why spoke those things before. That's not what you do. This old mind's going to get you to do all things. And we've heard about doing all kinds of good works. And God's not in any part. It's a good work. But God's not in it. And if we try to do it in ourselves, God just backs off. And lets us make a mess out of it. Because that's what's going to happen. Because we do not have the ability to complete the work that God wants to do. But if we'll allow God to lead us, guide us, and direct us through the Spirit, through His Holy Spirit, for you and I bet everybody has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anybody here that has not, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anybody here that does not speak in tongues? One. You're due. The rest of us, we have the Holy Spirit. Why on earth do we allow the enemy room for us to make decisions in the flesh when God can make them much better if we'll give Him an opportunity to? You see, we still have a lot of room to grow yet. We have not arrived at where God wants us. He has a place for us. And judgment is coming. You know, we heard it tonight. Judgment is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand and let God look at your life? You don't even have tomorrow guaranteed. You don't know if you're going to make it through tomorrow. Maybe I can scare you into it, as Mildred said. But you don't. You don't have that guarantee. You don't know when you're going to have to face God. So, I think it's time that we took a good look at ourselves and say, God, forgive me. I repent. Show me back all the places that I need to go back to repent and where I missed you. Yes. You know, we had a teaching here a couple of years ago. I don't know how long ago. It's been a long time ago. Had that chalkboard over there. And somebody drew up on there, he says, here is your lifeline. Basically, it's not this. It won't be a word for word what he was teaching, but the idea is the same. He says, here you missed God, and you went off down here, and you kept getting further and further away. And all of a sudden, you decided, I have missed God, and you jump back up, and you get back in line. And you try to, but it don't work. You can't get back with God, and God does not feed you back His Word. Yet you have come back, you've opened your Bible, you're reading your Bible, but it's God's not talking to you. God's not feeding you the way He used to. And what He was showing us is that you and I, when we miss God, we cannot jump back in line. We've got to go back to the point where we miss God and repent and confess the sin that we did that separated us from God and make things right at that point. Then God will start feeding and talking to you again. Oh, He has a wonderful plan for you. You've no idea. Eyes not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man all those wonderful things God has prepared for him. But He has revealed it to His saints. It's been revealed. And we are not to be ignorant. You and I need not to be ignorant of what God expects of us. We have a guide to life right here. And everything you need is right here. It's in this book. And you have wonderful preachers. And if you don't have one in your church, get out of it and get to a church that gives you a preacher that is feeding you on the Word of the Lord. Amen. And start getting in line with this lifeline that God has prepared for us. Yes. Where do we want to go? Let's go to Ephesians 4. And in verse 7, he said, but unto every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I had several of my scriptures stolen today. I've already been preached to you once today. This one right here goes back to Matthew 16. And I think Mildred was the one that used this one today. I'll tell you this. We don't dare talk to each other about anything that we're going to preach. I had no idea what she was going to do here or upstairs or tomorrow upstairs. And she knew nothing about what I was going to do here. If we start talking, I'll pick up everything that she has put down on paper. And I'll preach it in the sermon ahead of her. I'll just mess up her message from one end to the other because we are so close together. You know, you can't live with a person over 50 years without you don't begin to kind of get together. And there's the oneness there. And it'll bleed over what our thoughts are and what we plan to do and the things. Have times when we bump heads, but we clean it up and we get back right. And we don't give the enemy an opportunity to get in and put a wedge between us. And you should do the same thing if you are not already doing it. God said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So, it's necessary that we keep what we call short accounts. Now, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say I am? Some say Elias, and someone or someone other, and that great prophet, so and so. He said, but who do you say I am? Bless God, old Peter, who had foot and mouth disease, because he's always getting his foot in his mouth when he's away from the Lord, or later in life. But he answered perfectly that time, thou art the Son of God. He said, blessed son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father revealed this to you. So and so on, and I'm not going, that's not where I want to go. What I want you to see, who is Jesus to you right now? To you. Every one of you right here. Who is Jesus to you? At this point, right here, does he lead, guide, and direct your life? Do you go to him to make a decision in life, even small decisions or even large decisions? Who is Jesus to you? And that's what he was asking those disciples. Who is he? Who is Jesus? And I'm asking you, who is Jesus to you tonight? For if he is not the author of all good things in your life and the author of your life, then we're missing the mark. For he has to be for us to stand before God without shame. And I didn't say that this was easy. God didn't say it was easy. He said there are tribulations all down through your life. He said, I'll promise you one thing. I'll give you tribulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
What's tribulation?
And John 16, the last, what is it, 33, I believe. Last verse, John 16. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. I believe him. I believe him. But praise God, I have a God who will take me through all tribulation. And He will lead me beyond that into His kingdom and into His very presence. And I'm not where I'm going to be next week. I'm going to be different next week because I'm moving on. I'm not going to sit still. I'm going to serve God and I'm going to learn more how to serve God in this Word so that when I stand before Him, I will not be naked.
Hallelujah.
And we need to clean all this up and decide who Jesus is to us tonight so that we can get in right perspective with Him and know who that He is and the work that He's doing and has to do in our life. And see, I was in 7. Matthew 16, well, I gave you that without returning to it. Romans 4, verse 16. He said, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith, of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He says it's of faith that it might be grace. Faith, our faith, leads us into the grace of God. We have to believe faith. Oh, I love it. I love that word faith. Pistio. I don't know if that's correct pronunciation. Greek word. Starts with that, comes down to pistis. But I go back to another one below that from the root of it. And when you go to the root, it means to believe in, to adhere to trust in, and to walk in. Now, when you get to the root, see, it says walk in. When you get higher up in the last parts of faith, it just says to believe and trust. And we get the word fidelity out of that Greek word. And fidelity means that we have complete trust in it. You know, the bank, the First Fidelity Bank, you can trust in it. They'll take care of your money. Well, that was the idea that the world had with it, but that's where they got their idea for their name. Fidelity. It means to trust. But I want to see I want to see us begin not only trust, but to adhere to rely on it, stick to it, and trust it and rely on it. And I know that it's that that's what I'm letting Him do it because I can trust it and rely on Him being faithful to what He's already promised. And then to walk in it. To walk in it. Man, that's a part of it. We've got to walk in it. And if we don't walk in God's Word, how do you ever expect to stand before Him if we can't walk in it? It's just impossible. Stop and think about it. We've let the little foxes kill our vines. And we're producing no fruit, or at least less fruit for that part that they've killed, for that part that they've cut off. God wants us complete and whole. He wants us church without spot nor wrinkle. And I don't see that church yet. And He says, where is He going to begin? Where is He going to begin cleaning this all up and issuing His judgment? It's going to begin in the house of the Lord.
Right.
And that lines up with the Word we've heard tonight. And if we are responsible people, we will listen to what's been said tonight, not what I'm saying. Well, yes, because I'm saying the Word. It's not my Word, it's God's Word. That's what I'm telling you right here. I'm getting it right here out of the Bible. I'm reading it to you out of the Bible. So you can trust that too. But the Word that came forth, if we are responsible people, we better start cleaning up. You don't know how much we've got to do and how long it's going to take for us to get all of this trash out of our life. That's what it is. It's trash. It's not part of God. He'll have no part of it. You know how I know that? His Word says He'll have nothing to do with the flesh. The things of the flesh are just not even noticeable to Him. And those things that I do in the flesh, He didn't even see it at all. He won't take any part of that I do in the flesh. Only that I do by the Spirit of the living God and the Spirit that lives within me, allowing the Spirit of God to move through me. Praise God. He loves us. He loves us and watches over us. I can't tell you enough that He loves you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have access by believing God. By faith in God is how where we get began to get in this spirit of grace, this dispensation of grace in this time of grace. Grace does not cover every person that sits in a pew in the church and says, praise God. I come to church three times a week, and I live during the week for myself. You can't claim grace walking like that. We have not walked in it yet. So, praise the Lord. In Romans 5th chapter, and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Oh, it said it all there, didn't it? That stuff I've just been talking about, it said it again.
Yes.
And it is by believing in Jesus Christ, adhere to, rely on, and walk in. We have access to this, to the dispensation of grace as we move in this realm of God's Word. Romans 1, verse 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among the nations for His name. I see obedience brought in. Obedience to His Word. Obedience to the commands of my God. He says, I want an obedient people. I will accept an obedient people. And those who have examined their own life against the Word of God will walk in this. When you say, I'm okay, what's your standard? What are you checking against? We check ourselves against one another, don't we? We tend to do that. I'm just as good as he. I do this no worse. Yeah. I do no worse than my neighbor does, but that's not the standard that God uses. The only standard that we have to go by is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's the only thing we can line our lives up against to decide where we stand It's by aligning up against Jesus. And we will never reach the height of my Lord and Savior now. If we say we have no sin, we lie. So therefore we cannot reach that point and say we are okay. I'm okay. And this is why I'm saying this tonight. We need to clean up. Clean up. So we can stand before our God and walk in this dispensation of total forgiveness. Sins wiped out and remembered no more. And when we begin to obey this word, it all comes together in our lives that we will see it operate. Oh, if I could start going back and tell you experiences and could share with you some of the experiences. I have, in other times, talked about the great and glorious God we have and what He did in my life. But we have seen so much recently and in the last days of God moving. And He moves, of course, in our life is through deliverance. Because this is mainly the ministry we're in. And we have a very small group of people. But I watch God move in deliverance and set people free. And they're coming together in the body of Christ. Now they're getting in with the rest of the family of God because we have gotten rid of this out of our life that was hindering us from walking with God. And Satan will truly hinder you from walking with God. I'll tell you that for a fact. In fact, he won't let you get near to God. Oh, praise God. Where do we want to go? Titus again. Let's go back into Titus. Chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly or moderately, righteous, live and godly in this present world." Live moderately. It's His grace, unmerited favor, that brings us salvation. But we can walk out from under it if we do not continue to walk with Him. Is that not true? You see, God will never kick you out of the family. We kick ourselves out by unbelief, by disobedience, by sinning and not repenting till we let the enemy get a hold on us that we can no longer serve Him. And God will never, ever, until you have totally rejected Jesus Christ, kick you out of that kingdom. You can always go back for forgiveness. It's never too late until you completely reject Jesus. Hebrews tells us all about that, that there's no more hope. We put Jesus to shame again once we have done that, accepted Him and tasted all of His good work and then totally rejected Him. We haven't done that. We just let self have its own way. And we still recognize Jesus as Lord. And we need to get back to that point where He's Lord. He's Lord over me. He's living in me. He's Lord. He's my Lord. Now that means He's directing what I do. He's guiding me and He's leading me and He's supplying me with the needs of this life. Did you know He'd do that too?
That's right.
Matthew 6. He's preaching at what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He ends up in verse 33, saying, "All these things I'll provide to you when you seek first the kingdom of God." So, my God has taken care of your needs. He's promised that when we serve Him. What we need to do is to take care of one another. Huh? Did you hear that?
Yes.
We need to be looking out for one another.
Amen.
And standing in the gap for each other because God is already taking care of us. That's His promise when we walk with Him. So we need to watch out for each other. He also teaches us, he says, in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, that we should live moderately, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how He wants us to live. He wants you and I to live. And that's how we walk with Him. How we, under this protection, this glorious protection, this covering that He's provided for us. Oh, hallelujah. Now I'll go on to this one. This, you know, we don't talk too much about money in my church. This one is about money. 2 Corinthians 9. The verse of scripture that I want to use is verse 8. But Paul is talking to the people. Let's go back to 6, and he says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Well, all grace abound toward you when we give cheerfully. That's a part of it too. Well, we're going to take an offering. We have needs in the church, so we'll take an offering tonight. Open your pocketbook. Here we are. We have a 20, a 10, a 5, and a 1. Oh, well, give the 1. And we stick 1 out there. But God says He loves a cheerful giver. Not only do you give the best that you have to the Lord, He gave His best for you. But we give the best, and we give it with a loving and cheerful heart. We're glad to give it. For He gave us so much that we want to give back unto Him. So as a cheerful giver, we receive from the Lord. And I'll see in Romans 11, I'll have to rush on, or this time is passing, you know. But in Romans 11, I've got some good scripture yet I want to give you tonight on this topic. Verse 5 of 11. "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." The remnant. God always has a remnant. God has never had a time when there was not a remnant of His people. Those who have given themselves to God and said, "You be Lord over me." And it has always been there. And it is according to grace. To His unmerited favor, because truly there's not a... Oh Lord, don't give us what we deserve. If He gave us what we deserve, we would be in a horrible position. Oh yes, in man's standard of looking at man, okay, we're good, we're good shape. But when we line up our life against Jesus Christ, we're not in such a good shape. So if He gave us what we deserve, we would not feel so proud tonight. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy upon me. That remnant. Time is fleeting. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells it, "You're called not for what you do, but according to God's purpose." It's according to His grace and His purpose. You are called. Did you know you were called of God? That God has a special plan for you? Each one of you here, there's not a person here that God has not set out a plan for. And He will execute that plan when we get in line to receive the blessing of God. Galatians 5:4 tells us that trusting in our own ability, we lose favor with God. And we're no longer under that grace. It says we lose a grace. When we trust in our ability to handle all of our life. Look at Hebrews 10:29. This is also in the same vein. I wanted to give one or two. 10:29. "How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified unholy and hath done insult to the Spirit of grace." We insult Him. We insult. We by our actions, insult our God by what we do and disregarding His word over our life. Acts 11:23 tells us that God's grace in His people that are walking with Him is visible to those round about. They see it. They see God's grace. I can see it in God's people. I see His grace over people. I see the protection that He has over individuals. I see His love just flowing out through each individual where His grace is operating and it is working in their life. And you too can see it. Acts also in the 20th chapter, verse 32, tells you how it builds you up. The grace of God will build you up. Also in Acts in 18, let's look at that one. Acts 18, verse 27. "And when he had disposed to pass through Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. He's talking about Apollos, who's going to do some traveling. And he says, receive him. and it helps you and I believe. It helps you believe and me believe. The grace of God does a work in us that helps us believe. I've got two or three more scriptures I'm going to use. I want you to go with me to Romans 6. I want you to look at this one. Romans 6:14. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And Jesus has brought forth a new covenant, which he talks about. We read about the new covenant in those words in Hebrews. But he told us it was coming back in the Old Testament. He spoke of it there. But here, he tells us that it's in operation today. That sin shall not have rule over you. Oh, glory to God. I don't have to let that thing drive me and force me into situations where I'm sinning against my God, because of God's grace is covering me. And 5, in the same book, chapter 5, on the same page with me, verse 20. And moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That the sin, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I've read that many times, and I didn't recognize the fact that it said sin's going to get worse and worse. That's what it said. It's going to abound. That's more sin. But don't get upset. He said, because even though there's more, grace is going to much more abound, which will combat and set free from the sin much more through grace. And it rules, what did it say? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace rule or reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Well, I don't have any righteousness, but I have applied Jesus' righteousness to me. And as I apply that righteousness, praise God, He accepts it. And He accepts me in the Beloved, in the family of God. We all know this scripture, but turn and look at it afresh and anew. James 4. Verse 6. Verse 5 says, do you think the Scripture says, in vain the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He gives more grace, wherein He said, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. Praise God. That's my Scriptures for grace tonight. I pray God you... that will help us understand. Are there any here tonight that feel like they need right now to repent because the word that came forth, the time that we've seen the grace of God, do we need to confess sin and repent? You don't confess sin to me now. Don't get that thought in your mind. Is your life at the point that you are satisfied, or do you need to confess some things before God? Put it before God. Don't trust in your own ability. This has got us in trouble by trusting in our ability. For me to say, well, where am I standing? Let God tell you. If there are those that would like to, you can come up here, but you don't have to come up here. You need to repent. You need to ask forgiveness and repent and turn. What's repent? Well, there are two words for repentance used in the Old Testament. It means to turn away or to turn back. You're walking in this direction and you turn and you walk back in this direction. That's the Old Testament word. In the New Testament, repents means change your mind. We need to change our mind about some things. God never changes. We need to change. So if there are those tonight that would desire to come down and pray here at this altar, and we'll make an altar out of it, feel free to come forth and get right with God tonight for things in past in life that we have let slip and slide in our life that has brought us to a point where if we had to stand tonight before God, that we might be ashamed. Father, touch the lives of these people. These are your people, Father. They They walk under the name of Christ. We claim that name, Father. And I ask, Father, that you minister to them. If there are those that have in their life those things they need to get rid of tonight, Father, set them free right now as they confess their sins and repent and turn away, Lord, from those things and change their mind about it, Lord, that they'll no longer walk in that whatever that is that has separated them from you. For you're a gracious God and you forgive. And we praise and we thank you. We do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I love you, Lord. Father, I didn't mean to condemn anybody. I didn't want your word to condemn. I wanted your word to enlighten us to where we need you more in our lives and to need your word to operate in our lives in a better way than it has in the past. So, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I commit this people unto you this night. I bind Satan's power over them. That would hinder them from making decisions, I bind those spirits in their mind in the name of Jesus. We do spiritual warfare against the principalities and powers in the name of Jesus, those wicked spirits in the heavenly places. And we say, release this people, anyone that is bound, whose mind is bound, who has committed offenses against our God simply by trusting in the arm of flesh and not trusting in our Lord. Father, we bind those spirits in Jesus' name and say, Father, free them so that they can turn and return to you. Father, we thank you for allowing us this time. We give you the praise and glory. We say, set this people free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
For I say to you, my children, I say, yea, my children, I have called you my children, and I brought you forth. And I brought you forth this weekend that I might come closer to you, that you might come closer to me. Yea, you think that you might have come by accident or by your own decision. But know that I drew you in. I drew you here for a purpose that I might touch you, that I might touch your heart, that I might touch you, heal you, and bring you closer to me. For yea, it is my great desire that you should come to me, that you should come closer to me. Yea, that you should come up higher, higher and higher. I wish you to come higher into my throne room. I wish you to come up into the Spirit and come up into my throne room. And yea, in my throne room you'll have what you ask for. For as you come into my throne room, as you praise and you come into my presence, yea, I say unto you, seek my face. I said to my servant David, seek my face. He said, your face I will seek. And yea, he did seek my face. In all things he was pleasing to me. In all things he was a man after my own heart, excepting the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So know, my children, know that I call you to come up high to seek my face. And as you seek my face, yea, my hand shall be open unto you. Yea, but as you seek my face, my hand will be open, and it will be open plenteously. So yea, know that this weekend that I have brought you here, that you might seek my face, that I might reach out and open my hand and touch you, saith the Lord.
Let's stand and pray, okay? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray your mercy, Lord. Your mercy upon your people, your mercy upon the land. We pray, Father, against all darkness, against every demonic force, Father God. We receive, Father, whatever you bring, Lord. But God, we come against every demonic force of Satan. We bind him in the name of Jesus. We ask the spirit of intercession to come upon your people, to come into your people. Oh God, take us into travail, Father God, tonight, tomorrow, and the next day, and so forth, Lord. Lord, help a people to stand in the gap and make up the heads, Lord, that we might stand for others, Lord, that's about ready to be judged, Lord God. We ask mercy, Lord. Mercy upon the land. Mercy upon the church. Mercy upon this campground. Mercy upon the people here, Lord. Mercy upon our homes and families. Mercy, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Speak peace. There are those that are smooth mouths, the Lord says. The Scripture says. But the Lord said, I shall raise up in this hour true prophets. I shall raise up those who will hear the word of the Lord and shall declare that which they see, not which they guess at, saith the Lord. I shall declare and speak through my servants in this hour. So know that there are false ministries throughout this land, throughout this nation. But I, God, will open your eyes and give you discernment for this hour. Fear not, my people. I am the Lord thy God.
We are standing on holy ground tonight. The anointing and the presence of the Lord is moving in our midst with a word that we need to take to heart. For God's grace and mercy is extended unto us, but with the abominations in the land, judgment must come. God is not a just God if His judgments do not come. And we don't know in what way or how, but God requires that innocent blood be accounted for. And that those in high places are accountable to God as well as to the king is accountable to God first and then to his subjects. And our nation is a nation that at the present time has no accountability to God. And God is requiring that, and he will require it. And so we have heard tonight a prophetic word of that which God is warning his people, that we need to prepare ourselves for that which must come on the land. When it comes, we must not say, oh, my, my. You must say, Lord, your judgments are in the land. And we don't feel like it, but we must thank him and praise him for it. Because his judgments will call men to call on the name of the Lord. So we don't like to think of it in that way and in that vein, but that's the way we must think of it. We must give praise unto him for that which he does to bring about the restoration of the kingdom of his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, Father, in earth, in me and in this earth, as it is in heaven, that for thy glory shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And only God's judgment is going to bring that about, and it's time for it to happen. And you and I live in that day that the prophets look forward to. And we're privileged to be here today. And we don't need to complain. We need to rejoice that we live in the day of the Lord. Amen. We're too much for complaining and finding fault and feeling sorry for ourselves. We need to be rejoicing and giving praise, for God is ruling in the heavens and in the hearts of those who desire to serve him. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.